Chapter 47. The grave is no bar to my call. Matt and Perrin were mounted by the time Rand and Huron reached them. Far behind him, Rand heard Ingtar's voice rise.
The light and Shinawa!
The clash of steel joined the roar of other voices.
Where's Ingtar? Matt shouted. What's going on?
He had the horn of Valyr lashed to the high pommel of his saddle as if it were just any horn, but the dagger was in his belt. The ruby-tipped hilt, cupped protectively in a pale hand that seemed made of nothing but bone and sinew.
"He's dying," Rand said harshly as he swung onto Red's back. "Then we have to help him," Perrin said. "Matt can take the horn and the dagger onto—"
"He is doing it so we can all get away," Rand said.
"For that, too."
"We will all take the horn to Varen, and then you can help her take it wherever she says it belongs."
"What do you mean?"
Perrin asked. Rand dug his heels into the bay's flanks, and Red leaped away toward the hills beyond the town.
"The light and Shinawa!"
Ingtar's shout soared after him, sounding triumphant, and lightning crashed across the sky in answer. Rand whipped Red with his reins, then lay against the stallion's neck as the bay laid out in a dead run, mane and tail streaming. He wished he did not feel as if he were running away from Ingtar's cry, running from what he was supposed to do.
Ingtar, a dark friend. I don't care, he was still my friend.
The bay's gallop could not take him away from his own thoughts.
Death is lighter than a feather, duty heavier than a mountain. So many duties. Egwene, the horn, Fane, Matt and his dagger. Why can't there just be one at a time? I have to take care of all of them. Oh, light, Egwene.
He reined in so suddenly that Red slid to a halt, sitting back on his haunches. They were in a scanty copse of bare-branched trees atop one of the hills overlooking Falma. The others galloped up behind him.
"What do you mean?" Perrin demanded. "We can help Varen take the horn where it's supposed to go. Where are you going to be?"
"Maybe he's going mad already," Matt said. "He wouldn't want to stay with us if he was going mad, would you, Rand?"
"You three take the horn to Varen," Rand said. "Egwene. So many threads in so much danger. So many duties.
You do not need me."
Matt caressed the dagger's hilt.
"That's all very well, but what about you?"
"Burn me. You can't be going mad yet. You can't."
Huron gaped at them, not understanding half of it.
"I'm going back," Rand said. "I should never have left."
Somehow, that did not sound exactly right in his own ears. It did not feel right inside his head.
"I have to go back. Now."
That sounded better.
"Egwene is still there, remember? With one of those collars around her neck."
"Are you sure?" Matt said.
"I never saw her." "Ah, if you say she is there, then she's there. We'll all take the horn to Varen, and then we will all go back for her. You don't think I would leave her there, do you?"
Rand shook his head.
"Threads. Duties."
He felt as if he were about to explode like a firework.
"Light, what's happening to me?"
"Matt, Varen must take you and that dagger to Tar Valon, so you can finally be free of it. You don't have any time to waste."
"Saving Egwene isn't wasting time."
But Matt's hand had tightened on the dagger till it shook.
"We aren't any of us going back," Perrin said.
"Not yet. Look."
He pointed back toward Falma. The wagon yards and horse lots were turning black with Seanchan soldiers. Thousands of them rank on rank, with troops of cavalry riding scaled beasts as well as armored men on horses, colorful gonfalons marking the officers. Grom dotted the ranks and other strange creatures, almost but not quite like monstrous birds and lizards, and great things like nothing he could describe, with gray wrinkled skin and huge tusks. At intervals along the lines stood Suldam and Damani by the score. Rand wondered if Egwene were one of them. In the town behind the soldiers, a rooftop still exploded now and again, and lightning still streaked the sky. Two flying beasts with leathery wings, 20 spans tip to tip, soared high overhead, keeping well away from where the bright bolts danced.
"All that for us?" Matt said incredulously. "Who do they think we are?"
An answer came to Rand, but he shoved it away before it had a chance to form completely.
"We aren't going the other way either, Lord Rand," Huron said. "White cloaks. Hundreds of them."
Rand wheeled his horse to look where the sniffer was pointing. A long, white-cloaked line rippled slowly toward them across the hills.
Lord Rand, Hiran muttered, if that lot lays an eye on the Horn of Elir, we'll never get it close to an Aes Sedai. We'll never get close to it again ourselves.
Maybe that's why the Seanchan are gathering, Matt said hopefully, because of the White Cloaks. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with us at all.
Whether it does or not, Perrin said dryly, there is going to be a battle here in a few minutes.
Either side could kill us, Hiran said, even if they never see the Horn. If they do...
Rand could not manage to think about the White Cloaks or the Seanchan.
I have to go back. Have to.
He was staring at the Horn of Elir, he realized. They all were.
The curled golden horn hung at Matt's pommel, the focus of every eye.
It has to be there at the last battle, Matt said, licking his lips. Nothing says it can't be used before then.
He pulled the horn free of its lashings and looked at them anxiously.
Nothing says it can't.
No one else said anything.
Rand did not think he could speak. His own thoughts were too urgent to allow room for speech.
Have to go back. Have to go back.
The longer he looked at the horn, the more urgent his thoughts became.
Have to. Have to.
Matt's hand shook as he raised the Horn of Elir to his lips. It was a clear note, golden as the horn was golden. The trees around them seemed to resonate with it, and the ground under their feet, the sky overhead. That one long sound encompassed everything. Out of nowhere, a fog began to rise. First thin wisps hanging in the air, then thicker billows, and thicker, until it blanketed the land like clouds.
Jefram Bornhald stiffened in his saddle as a sound filled the air. So sweet he wanted to laugh, so mournful he wanted to cry. It seemed to come from every direction at once. A mist began to rise, growing even as he watched.
The Seanchan, they are trying something. They know we are here.
It was too soon, the town too far, but he drew his sword. A clatter of scabbards ran down the rank of his half-legion and called,
The legion will advance at a trot.
The fog covered everything now, but he knew Falma was still there, ahead. The pace of the horses picked up. He could not see them, but he could hear. Abruptly, the ground ahead flew up with a roar, showering him with dirt and pebbles. From the white blindness to his right, he heard another roar, and men and horses screamed. Then from his left, and again. Again. Thunder and screams hidden by the fog.
The legion will charge!
His horse leaped forward as he dug in his heels, and he heard the roar as the legion, as much of it as still lived, followed.
Thunder and screams, wrapped in whiteness. His last thought was regret. Byr would not be able to tell his son Dane how he had died.
Rand could not see the trees around them any longer. Matt had lowered the horn, eyes wide with awe, but the sound of it still rang in Rand's ears. The fog hid everything in rolling waves, as white as the finest bleached wool. Yet Rand could see. He could see, but it was mad. Falma floated somewhere beneath him, its landward border black with the Seanchan ranks, lightning ripping its streets. Falma hung over his head. There, White Cloaks charged and died as the earth opened in fire beneath their horses' hooves. There, men ran about the decks of tall, square ships in the harbor, and on one ship, a familiar ship, fearful men waited. He could even recognize the face of the captain, Bale Doman. He clutched his head with both hands. The trees were hidden, but he could still see each of the others clearly. Huron anxious, Matt muttering, fearful, Perrin looking as if he knew this was meant to be. The fog roiled up all around them. Huron gasped.
Lord Rand.
There was no need for him to point.
Down the billowing fog, as if it were the side of a mountain, rode shapes on horses. At first, the dense mists hid more than that, but slowly they came closer, and it was Rand's turn to gasp. He knew them. Men, not all in armor, and women. Their clothes and their weapons came from every age, but he knew them all. Rogosh Eagle-Eye, a fatherly-looking man with white hair and eyes so sharp as to make his name merely a hint.
Gaidal Kane, a swarthy man with the hilts of his two swords sticking above his broad shoulders. Golden-haired Brigitta, with her gleaming silver bow and quiver bristling with silver arrows. More. He knew their faces, knew their names. But he heard 100 names when he looked at each face, some so different he did not recognize them as names at all, though he knew they were. Michael instead of Mikkel. Patrick instead of Pedrig. Oscar instead of Otarin. He knew the man who rode at their head, too. Tall and hook-nosed, with dark, deep-set eyes, his great sword Justice at his side. Arthur Hawkwing. Matt gaped at them as they reined in before him and the others.
Is this all of you?
They were little more than 100, Rand saw, and realized that somehow he had known that they would be. Urin's mouth hung open. His eyes bulged almost out of his head.
It takes more than bravery to bind a man to the horn.
Archer Hawkwing's voice was deep and carrying, a voice used to giving commands.
Or a woman, Brigitta said sharply.
Or a woman, Hawkwing agreed. Only a few are bound to the wheel, spun out again and again to work the will of the wheel and the pattern of the ages. You could tell him, Luz Theron, could you but remember when you wore flesh?
He was looking at Rand. Rand shook his head, but he would not waste time with denials.
Invaders have come, men who call themselves Seanchan, who used chained Aes Sedai in battle. They must be driven back into the sea. And there is a girl, Egwene Alvir, a novice from the White Tower. The Seanchan have taken her prisoner. You must help me free her.
To his surprise, several of the small host behind Arthur Hawkwing chuckled, and Brigitta, testing her bowstring, laughed.
You always choose women who cause you trouble, Luz Theron.
It had a fond sound, as between old friends.
My name is Randall Thor, he snapped. You have to hurry. There isn't much time.
Time? Brigitta said, smiling. We have all of time.
Gaidal Kane dropped his reins and, guiding his horse with his knees, drew a sword in either hand. All along the small band of heroes, there was an unsheathing of swords, an unlimbering of bows, a hefting of spears and axes. Justice shone like a mirror in Archer Hawkwing's gauntleted fist.
I have fought by your side times beyond number, Luz Theron, and faced you as many more. The wheel spins us out for its purposes, not ours, to serve the pattern. I know you if you do not know yourself. We will drive these invaders out for you.
His warhorse pranced, and he looked around, frowning.
Something is wrong here. Something holds me.
Suddenly he turned his sharp-eyed gaze on Rand.
You are here. Have you the banner?
A murmur ran through those behind him.
Yes.
Rand tore open the straps of his saddlebags and pulled out the dragon's banner. It filled his hands and hung almost to his stallion's knees. The murmur among the heroes rose.
The pattern weaves itself around our necks like halters, Arthur Hawkwing said. You are here. The banner is here. The weave of this moment is set. We have come to the horn, but we must follow the banner and the dragon.
Huron made a faint sound as if his throat had seized.
Burn me, Matt breathed. It's true. Burn me.
Perrin hesitated only an instant before swinging down off his horse and striding into the mist. There came a chopping sound, and when he returned, he carried a straight length of sapling shorn of its branches.
Give it to me, Rand, he said gravely. If they need it, give it to me.
Hastily, Rand helped him tie the banner to the pole. When Perrin remounted, pole in hand, a current of air seemed to ripple the pale length of the banner, so the serpentine dragon appeared to move alive. The wind did not touch the heavy fog, only the banner.
You stay here, Rand told Huron. When it's over, you'll be safe here.
Huron drew his short sword, holding it as if it might actually be of some use from horseback.
Begging your pardon, Lord Rand, but I think not. I don't understand the 10th part of what I've heard, or what I'm seeing.
His voice dropped to a mutter before picking up again.
But I've come this far, and I think I'll go the rest of the way.
Arthur Hawkwing clapped the sniffer on the shoulder.
Sometimes the wheel adds to our number, friend. Perhaps you will find yourself among us one day.
Huron sat up as if he had been offered a crown. Hawkwing bowed formally from his saddle to Rand.
With your permission, Lord Rand. Trumpeter, will you give us music on the horn? Fitting that the Horn of Valir should sing us into battle. Bannerman, will you advance?
Matt sounded the horn again, long and high. The mists rang with it, and Perrin heeled his horse forward. Rand drew the heron-marked blade and rode between them. He could see nothing but thick billows of white, but somehow he could still see what he had before, too. Falma, where someone used the power in the streets, and the harbor, and the Seanchan host, and the dying white cloaks, all of it beneath him, all of him hanging above, all of it just as it had been. It seemed as if no time at all had passed since the horn was first blown, as though time had paused while the heroes answered the call and now resumed counting. The wild cries Matt wrung from the horn echoed in the fog and the drumming of hooves as the horses picked up speed. Rand charged into the mists, wondering if he knew where he was headed. The clouds thickened, hiding the far ends of the rank of heroes galloping to either side of him, obscuring more and more till he could see only Matt and Perrin and Huron clearly. Huron crouched low in his saddle, wide-eyed, urging his horse on. Matt sounding the horn and laughing between. Perrin, his yellow eyes glowing, the dragon's banner streaming behind him. Then they were gone too, and Rand rode on alone, as it seemed. In a way, he could still see them, but now it was the way he could see Falma and the Seanchan. He could not tell where they were or where he was. He tightened his grip on his sword, peered into the mists ahead. He charged alone through the fog, and somehow he knew that was how it was meant to be. Suddenly, Baalzamon was before him in the mists, throwing his arms wide. Red reared wildly, hurling Rand from his saddle. Rand clung to his sword desperately as he soared. It was not a hard landing. In fact, he thought, with a sense of wonder, that it was very much like landing on nothing at all. One instant he was sailing through the mists, and the next he was not. When he climbed to his feet, his horse was gone, but Baalzamon was still there, striding toward him with a long, black-charred staff in his hands. They were alone, only they and the rolling fog. Behind Baalzamon was shadow. The mist was not dark behind him. This blackness excluded the white fog. Rand was aware of other things, too. Arthur Hawkwing and the other heroes meeting the Seanchan in dense fog. Perrin with the banner swinging his axe more to fend off those who tried to reach him than harm them. Matt still blowing wild notes on the Horn of Valir. Huron down from his saddle, fighting with short sword and sword breaker in the way he knew. It seemed as if the Seanchan numbers would overwhelm them in one rush, yet it was the dark-armored Seanchan who fell back. Rand went forward to meet Baalzamon. Reluctantly, he assumed the void, reached for the true source, was filled with the one power. Perhaps he had no chance against the Dark One, but whatever chance he did have lay in the power. It soaked into his limbs, seemed to suffuse everything about him, his clothes, his sword. He felt as if he should be glowing like the sun. It thrilled him. It made him want to vomit.
"Get out of my way," he grated. "I am not here for you."
"The girl?"
Baalzamon laughed. His mouth turned to flame. His burns were all but healed, leaving only a few pink scars that were already fading. He looked like a handsome man of middle years, except for his mouth and his eyes.
"Which one, Luz Theron? You will not have anyone to help you this time. You are mine or you are dead. In which case, you are mine anyway."
"Liar!"
Rand snarled. He struck at Baalzamon, but the staff of charred wood turned his blade in a shower of sparks.
"Father of lies! Fool! Did those other fools you summoned not tell you who you are?"
The fires of Balzamon's face roared with laughter. Even floating in emptiness, Rand felt a chill.
"Would they have lied? I don't want to be the dragon reborn."
He firmed his grip on his sword, parting the silk, but Baalzamon beat every cut aside. Sparks flew as from a blacksmith's forge and hammer.
I have business in Falma, and none with you. Never with you, Rand said.
I have to hold his attention until they can free Egwene. In that odd way, he could see the battle rage among the fog-shrouded wagon yards and horse lots.
You pitiful wretch. You have sounded the horn of Valyr. You are linked to it now. Do you think the worms of the White Tower will ever release you now? They will put chains around your neck so heavy you will never cut them.
Rand was surprised he felt it inside the void. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know. He was sure it must show on his face. To cover it, he rushed at Balsamon. Hummingbird kisses the honey rose, the moon on the water. The swallow rides the air. Lightning arched between sword and staff. Coruscating glitter showered the fog. Yet Balsamon fell back, his eyes blazing in furious furnaces. At the edge of his awareness, Rand saw the Seanchan falling back in the streets of Falma, fighting desperately. Damani tore the earth with the One Power, but it could not harm Archer Hawkwing, nor the other heroes of the Horn.
"Will you remain a slug beneath a rock?" Balsamon snarled.
The darkness behind him boiled and stirred.
"You kill yourself while we stand here. The power rages in you. It burns you. It's killing you. I alone in the world can teach you how to control it. Serve me and live. Serve me or die. Never!"
"Have to hold him long enough. Hurry, Hawkwing, hurry." He launched himself at Balsamon again. The dove takes flight. The falling leaf. This time it was he who was driven back. Dimly he saw the Seanchan fighting their way back in among the stables. He redoubled his efforts. The Kingfisher takes a silverback. The Seanchan gave way to a charge, Otter Hawkwing and Perrin side by side in the van. Bundling straw. Balsamon caught his blow in a fountain like crimson fireflies, and he had to leap away before the staff split his head. The wind of the blow ruffled his hair. The Seanchan surged forward. Striking the spark. Sparks flew like hail. Balsamon jumped from his stroke, and the Seanchan were driven back to the cobblestone streets. Rand wanted to howl aloud. Suddenly he knew that the two battles were linked. When he advanced, the heroes called by the horn drove the Seanchan back. When he fell back, the Seanchan rose up.
"They will not save you," Balsamon said. "Those who might save you will be carried far across the Arith Ocean. If ever you see them again, they will be collared slaves, and they will destroy you for their new masters."
"Egwene, I can't let them do that to her." Balsamon's voice rode over his thoughts.
"You have only one salvation, Randalthor, Luz Theron Kinslayer. I am your only salvation. Serve me, and I will give you the world. Resist, and I will destroy you as I have so often before. But this time, I will destroy you to your very soul. Destroy you utterly and forever."
"I have won again, Luz Theron." The thought was beyond the void, yet it took an effort to ignore it, not to think of all the lives where he had hurt it. He shifted his sword, and Balsamon readied his staff. For the first time, Rand realized that Balsamon acted as if the Heronmark blade could harm him. "Steel can't hurt the Dark One." But Balsamon watched the sword warily. Rand was one with the sword. He could feel every particle of it, tiny bits 1,000 times too small to be seen with the eye. And he could feel the power that suffused him running into the sword as well, threading through the intricate matrices wrought by Aes Sedai during the Trolloc Wars. It was another voice he heard then. Lan's voice.
"There will come a time when you want something more than you want life."
Ingtar's voice. "It is every man's right to choose when to sheathe the sword." The picture formed of Egwene, collared, living her life as a Damani. "Threads of my life in danger. Egwene. If Hawkwing gets into Falma, he can save her." Before he knew it, he had taken the first position of heron waiting in the rushes. Balanced on one foot, sword raised high, open and defenseless. "Death is lighter than a feather. Duty heavier than a mountain." Balsamon stared at him.
Why are you grinning like an idiot, fool? Do you not know I can destroy you utterly?
Rand felt a calmness beyond that of the void.
I will never serve you, father of lies. In 1,000 lives, I never have. I know that. I'm sure of it. Come. It is time to die.
Balsman's eyes widened. For an instant, they were furnaces that put sweat on Rand's face. The blackness behind Balsman boiled up around him, and his face hardened.
Then die, worm!
He struck with the staff as with a spear. Rand screamed as he felt it pierce his side, burning like a white-hot poker. The void trembled, but he held on with the last of his strength and drove the Heronmark blade into Balsamon's heart. Balsamon screamed, and the dark behind him screamed. The world exploded in fire.